In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. The exodus of the choir. You know the image from the cartoons of our childhood. The fair maiden is tied to the railroad tracks. In the distance, we can hear the rumbling, ground-shaking, impending doom of the big steam engine headed toward the helpless victim. Our hearts race, our stomachs drop. She's going to be killed by that train. She's all tied up. Who is coming to the rescue to save her? Enter the hero, usually on a white horse. He shows up just in the nick of time, thank God, to untie her. In my childhood, it was Dudley Do-Right, the Canadian Mountie, strong and fearless with a jaw as squarely angled as an Amazon packing box. And Dudley would always save Nell at the last moment from Snidely Whiplash. And you can't even say his name without curling the waxed mustache. But this isn't the only incident, the only version of this rescue trope. So what does this have to do with Advent? And Christmas, and baby Jesus in the manger under a starry night sky. Hang on, we'll get there. The Gospel of Mark was the first of the four canonical Gospels. It is believed to have been written around the year 70, after the Jewish War that began in 66 AD and the subsequent destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. It was a time of oppression by the Roman Empire. Scholars disagree as to its audience. Some say it was written in Rome for Christ followers there. Others say Palestine or Syria. Mark translates familiar Aramaic phrases, which is a clue that this gospel might have been written for a mixed audience where some of them understood Aramaic and some of them didn't. End of history lesson. I include this deadly boring little piece of placement for a simple reason. It helps us understand who Mark's audience was and how the evangelists shaped the message to meet their particular needs. Imagine these people. They are Christians, although they would not refer to themselves as such. It's possible that they are Jewish followers of Christ. It's also possible that they are Greek-speaking Gentiles. In either case, they are frightened, because their path, their beliefs, might lead to their execution by the Roman state. But they've got a hope, a really comforting and exciting hope, embedded in a promise that was foretold in the ancient Hebrew Bible. In our reading from Isaiah, from the Psalm today, it was reinforced by Jesus himself in today's gospel passage. The Son of Man himself, Jesus Christ, will return, coming in clouds, in power and glory. Not necessarily on a white horse with a railroad going ka-chunka, chunka, 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 closer and closer, but returning in a time of need. Jesus Christ will return and will gather them up and save them from the fear that rules their existence, even in the wondering if things will ever get better. In the midst of the bad times, Jesus says, he will return to conquer their fear. Pretty good news for all those faithful followers who were risking all for their beliefs. But, and there's always a but, Jesus does not specify when this is going to happen. As a matter of fact, he tells them they've got to pay attention, watch for the signs, be ready, because they don't know when it will happen. Gee whiz. Way to stress the people out further. Now we've always got to be watchful because we don't know when he's coming back, and we surely don't want to miss him. The Gospel of Mark is all about the impending return of Jesus, and it's full of references to how quickly it might happen. The most frequently used word in this short gospel is immediately. Everything happens immediately. There's an intensity about it, a sense that things are moving quickly in the midst of an existential crisis. And tied to that sense of urgency is the cry of pain of God's people who seek the Messiah once again, who seek relief, who struggle. And that is what Jesus is responding to. He comes, he teaches, he preaches, he gets in trouble with the authorities. That would feel familiar to those first listeners. And then he's killed, but he promises to come back again. In the midst of that crisis, of Jesus' death and the people's struggle, a promise exists. And if the whole of this story is couched in the language of hurry, 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 how could there be a doubt that he's coming back really soon? And we, like five-year-olds who have been told that daddy's coming home from the office soon, want to stand by the window to see the very moment that he pulls in the driveway, because soon means in the next 5 minutes, even if what mom meant was in a half an hour or so. But think about how Jesus talks about the gathering storm clouds in this gospel. When we see those storm clouds, we know that the torrents and the winds are coming soon, and we brace ourselves. We know how to read signs, right? But Jesus is coming to rescue us, and it has to be soon, because how can we bear the storm? How can we survive? How can we get through the torrents and the rain? We need Jesus, and we need him now. But Jesus is not Dudley Do-Right, who rides in at the last minute and saves us from this particular storm. He's coming at an appointed time, the end of it, to gather us all up. At the end of days, when all is done and the final crisis is wrapping up. The biblical scholar Martha Simmons describes this time as when the sweet by and by meets the nasty here and now. Mark's Jesus gives words that provide comfort to those struggling first century Christians in the nasty here and now of their existence. But they are words of comfort not only to them. He gives those words to us 21st century Christians as well. Think of the struggle of the world in which we live. Although most of us here don't worry about Roman centurions crashing into our homes and carting us off to the Colosseum to be snacks for lions, there are other risks, more subtle ones. Misogyny, homophobia, racism, oppression. We're continually told that terrorists are at the door, and some days it surely feels like that, with a relentless series of acts of violence going on. Even the institutional church, which was once the one steady thing in the world for those of us of a certain age, no longer seems as stable or as sure. Mark and scholar David Jacobson reminds us, Jesus speaks to a church whose desire for justice, sense of identity, and very future seem fragile and unfinished. we early 21st century Christians may just benefit, even in situations of relative or differentiated privilege, to overhear the kind of promises that allowed them to live forward amid the fragments and ruins, to watch for the new thing that God is doing in Advent. You may wonder why we have this little bit of eschatological, apocalyptic writing on the first Sunday of Advent. Seems sort of dark, doesn't it? Now we get to the heart of things. The evangelist Mark doesn't talk about Jesus' birth, about his genealogy, about a long trek to Bethlehem for the census. He's not much interested in the whole manger thing with shepherds and wise men. Later retellers of Jesus' story will talk about that part of the tale. For you Star Wars fans, they'll tell the prequel. But Mark, he's here to remind us, in the way he has shaped his gospel, that the intensity of the moment, in that intensity, in the crisis that those who listen to this gospel face, whether it is in 70 AD or 2017, there is a Savior who is coming to gather us up. Yes, he was once a baby. Yes, there was once a census. But we don't have time for that retelling because we are in the midst of something that frightens us, an existential crisis. Right here, right now, we need Jesus. And the good news is that he is coming. So keep him in mind. Watch for him. Watch for him in many different ways, even if it is not the great final gathering up. Watch for him in moments when you can change the world's narrative into Jesus' promise. Watch for him in moments when you can see glimpses of those around you do better. Watch for him. Be ready. And in the meantime, work like he's just around the corner. Because as an old t-shirt of mine says, look busy, Jesus is coming. And thanks be to God for that. Amen.
Amen.